Well, it is certainly a joy and delight to gather with you, the family of God, with the church. I'm grateful for you, and I often am so refreshed when we gather together on these Sunday mornings to worship together and to pray together. And I hope that you are similarly encouraged and strengthened when we get together. And I hope that these times of worship are just strengthening for your own soul. I've been reading through the book of Romans, and Paul is... He loves the church in Rome, and he is encouraged by the church in Rome. And so I hope that as we gather, we have that similar hope and joy, and that we are sharpened in our faith together. Well, hey, Christmas is coming, and I know for some of you, you don't want to hear that, because when you hear that, it kind of stresses you out, right? It's a season where things get really busy, it's stressful, and Christmas is a few weeks away now. It's important for us to get all these different things in order, and gifts, and cards, and decorations, and all these different things, and it's similarly important for us to get ready in the right way. Last week, we kicked off the Advent season, and we kicked off a new sermon series, our Advent series, called Hyped for the Holidays. When we enter into the holiday season, we begin to soak up the Christmas vibe, and it's easy for us to kind of get caught up in the spirit of Christmas, right? We get excited, we get enthusiastic, we're looking forward to Christmas. The lights and the decorations, the food and the parties and the gifts and the time off from work or school, it gives us a lot to look forward to in Christmas. And of course, growing up, for me, I most often looked forward to the gifts or the presents that were coming my way. I was hoping that I would get that new G.I. Joe or that He-Man action figure, right? Maybe I'd get some Micro Machines or some that Big Wheels tricycle. These are some 80s and 90s toys. But I always remember looking forward to gifts from two people or two sets of people in particular. I always looked forward to getting gifts from my godparents and from my maternal grandparents. They always got me the best gifts. And so whether it was a new Nerf gun or, you know, like a walkie-talkie or the newest action figure, I was always looking forward to and save for last the gifts that I got from my godparents or from my maternal grandparents. And for many of us now, I think we certainly look forward to getting gifts, right? But maybe for some of us who are older now, I think we look just as much ahead to giving gifts. And hopefully that's something that does make you feel excited about Christmas. It's an opportunity for you to not just get gifts, but also to give gifts. I think certainly we know that the old adage goes that it's better to give than to receive. That's something that I think as we get older, we begin to understand. Certainly when I give my kids a gift, a toy that they've been talking about, or the Pokemon cards they've been thinking about for a long time, they get really excited. It's fun for me to watch them jump up and down and to hold that gift in their hands and to be super excited about it. That makes me feel good. You know, with our kids, we just usually ask them straight up, like, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for Christmas? And so they'll have a list. And when we get that gift for them, they get really excited about it. But for me, with Jenny, I try to give her something that she'll be surprised by. And so, you know, I'll do my best to think of something or, you know, pick up on maybe something that she's browsing on her phone or, you know, try to notice what she's been talking about more recently. And I'll try to come up with something that she really wants or she's excited about. And so many times, and she'll tell you this, I'll kind of do some research, you know, weeks in advance, and I'll get this gift, and you know, I get really excited about it, and I tell her, you're going to love the gift that I got for you. You're going to love this gift, right? I spent time thinking about it, and, you know, I researched it, and you have no idea how much I've worked on this, but you're going to love this gift, right? And I get excited, can't contain this excitement, and I just tell her, you're going to love this gift, right? But then as Christmas gets closer, I think, you know what, I might have overhyped the gift a little bit, right? And I realize, you know, I might have overpromised or oversold the joy that she might get when she gets this gift. And so I start to backtrack a little bit. So I go from saying, like, you're going to love this gift to, well, I'm pretty sure you're going to love this gift. And then I'll say, well, I mean, it's, you know, it's probably something that you'll like. And then finally I'll say, you know, actually, I'm not sure that you're going to like this gift. So I have the receipt. If you want to return it, you can do that. But eventually when I give her the gift, usually, for the most part, she does like the gift, right? She does love the gift that I get her. And it makes me happy. It makes me glad to see her receive a gift that she enjoys. And so whether it's giving gifts or getting gifts, there's a great deal of excitement and anticipation that happens in the exchange. It's gratifying for us to get something that we want. It's gratifying for us to give something that somebody else wants. The reason that we get hyped for the holidays, or one of the great reasons we get hyped for the holidays, is that we get to give gifts and that we get to get gifts. But as nice as it is to receive a great gift, and as rewarding as it is to give a great gift, we know that as Christians, Christmas is all about the best gift that was given from the most generous giver. The reason why we give and the reason why we get is because God the Father sent God the Son as our gift to accomplish our salvation. When we give gifts, and when we receive gifts during Christmas, it's a tiny display of God's incredibly huge act of presenting salvation to a desperately needy people. During the holidays, we get hyped for gifts and giving presents. But as we look at our passage this morning, what I want us to reflect on during the Christmas season is that God sent Jesus as a gift out of love, as a gift of absolute necessity, and as a gift that is totally undeserved. Our passage this morning is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. I think it's up there on the screen. And I'd love for you to read it with me or to follow along as I go through it. And if you have a device or a Bible, it's important for you to have this in front of you to read. And we'll see that Jesus is a gift out of love, that Jesus is a gift of absolute necessity, and that Jesus is a gift that is totally undeserved. Let me actually start reading from verse 1, and then I'll get to our passage and read through verse 9. It says, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." You know, in verse 4, we get a picture into the motivation and the inspiration behind God's gift of sending Jesus that first Christmas day. Paul writes that God gives us his Son because he is rich in mercy and because of the great love with which he loved us. God's gift is a gift of mercy and love. See, mercy is recognizing a critical or desperate situation and then moving to act in order to bring relief or help in that situation. It could be as simple as seeing an elderly person in need of a seat and offering yours so that he can sit down. It could be opening the door for a woman struggling to get a stroller through. Mercy sees a need and then rushes to help. I think I've shared before about my sister-in-law, who used to work at a coffee shop in the Loop. And she met a homeless woman and got to know her by just having conversations with her and taking her out to lunch. And for Thanksgiving one year, my sister-in-law invited this woman, Brenda, to our family Thanksgiving meal. In mercy, my sister-in-law saw that Brenda had no place to go, no food to eat. The weather was cold and the conditions were getting worse. And so she offered her a meal. My sister-in-law offered her own family to spend time with. She offered her a place of shelter for a few hours. Mercy doesn't just see and acknowledge hurting people. Mercy acts to provide. Mercy does something about that need. And God saw the broken, sinful, damaged, ruined condition of humanity. And in his mercy, in his compassion, in his love, God sent his Son to repair and restore the world. You know, earlier we just read at the beginning of chapter 2 that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. It was more than just a really bad situation that God saw when he looked at humanity. It says that before Christ, we were dead. We were spiritually lifeless, without hope, without any ability to reach out to God or to know God or have a relationship with God. It was the most desperate of any condition. God saw our dead souls destined for eternal separation from him. And he acted to give us the greatest gift that mankind could receive. God's mercy says, I want to give you a gift that will rescue you from sin and death. It says in verse 4 that God is rich in mercy. And then it says that God gave us this gift of Jesus because of the great love with which he loved us. I think this is important because God did not give us his son to be our sacrifice out of obligation or because he felt he owed it to us. This gift of Jesus on that first Christmas morning was because he loved us. He longed for us to be restored to a relationship with him. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You know, sometimes we give gifts out of obligation or because we think that we need to. It's a duty that we have. We're required to do it. Especially if we know that someone is going to give us a gift, we feel like we have to give them a gift back, right? And so we give them a gift. Maybe it's a family member who, just because they're in your family, you give them a gift because that's what you do. It's Christmas time. You give them a gift. It's not necessarily out of love. It's not necessarily a whole lot of affection behind the gift. It's out of duty. It's out of responsibility, a familial obligation that you have to give this gift. And a few weeks ago, we asked one of our sons to give one of our other sons a birthday gift. We asked him to give a gift to his brother. And so he began collecting some of the things from his room to present to his brother. And he was like, well, you know, I could give him this toy because I don't really like it. And this one I don't really play with anymore, so I'll give him this one. And this one's good, but it's broken, so I guess he can have it. And so we had to have this conversation about why we give gifts and about how we give gifts. But his initial attitude reveals what's in all of our hearts. Sometimes we just give out of feelings of compulsion or obligation. It's a requirement. Or similarly, we give gifts grudgingly or reluctantly. And so we give the gift half-heartedly or without much thought or much care. But a gift given in love is a gift that is thoughtful. It's selfless. It's kind-hearted. It makes the recipient feel treasured. God's gift to us is out of his rich mercy and his great love. He sees and knows the sickness and brokenness and hurting and ugliness of our world. And he gave us the gift of rescue and restoration in Jesus. God sent Jesus as a gift out of love. But secondly, Jesus is also a gift to us that is a gift of great need. God sent Jesus as a gift of absolute necessity. We had to have this gift. Christ's coming to earth is absolutely essential for us to live. We've already noted that Paul starts out this chapter by saying that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Because we have ignored God and we've challenged his leading and disobeyed him, we've lived selfishly, we are eternally separated from him. We're spiritually dead. We've been swallowed up by darkness and there is no light in us. You know, sometimes people use this illustration of Jesus being the gift of life. He's like a life preserver for a drowning person, right? Like we're drowning in our sin, and then God threw out this life preserver of Jesus to save us from our drowning. But the Bible actually tells us that we are already dead, that we have already drowned. We've already gone under. We're not even trying to tread water. We can't reach out for help. And Christmas is the celebration of Jesus who comes not just to save us from drowning, but to revive us after we have drowned. Jesus comes to give us life, to make us alive. We need more than a life preserver. We need a life provider. I don't know if you've ever received a gift that you don't really need, but even if it's a gift given in love and thoughtfulness, a gift that is not needed is really kind of a waste. When Jenny and I got married, we hired a professional photographer like most couples do, and we agreed that this was a moment in our lives that we wanted to document and make sure that we had, that we could always cherish and remember forever. And so this was one of those budget items that we said, yes, we're going to spend a little bit more because we want to get a good photographer for our wedding. And so we interviewed a few photographers and looked at some portfolios and settled on a really talented photographer who was not cheap, but we felt good about it because we knew that this is what we wanted and this was something that was going to be lasting forever as we got these pictures. But on the day of our wedding, one of the guests, who was a family friend of my parents, decided that as a wedding gift, he was going to take pictures as well during the wedding and print those photos out for us to have, which was really nice. He didn't tell this to us ahead of time. He didn't plan this out beforehand with us. He just showed up, and we saw him everywhere, right? He was taking pictures of us and then different guests and the venue and the food and just snapping away. And a few days after our wedding, my mom says, I have a bunch of pictures to give to you. It's a gift from this guy who was at the wedding. And so we say, okay. And she gives us this big box of pictures of our wedding that the guy had printed out from Costco. And it wasn't just a few pictures. He printed out over 1,000 photos of us because he made duplicates of every picture, you know, because that's what Chinese people do, right? Not only that, but he printed out so many pictures that he broke two machines at one Costco and had to go to another Costco to finish printing out the pictures. It literally took us years to go through all those pictures and to figure out which ones we wanted to keep because there were ones that were just blurry and ones that we didn't want to keep. Some were just irrelevant. We didn't know who, you know, what he was taking a picture of, right? But the point is, that those pictures, while they were a generous gift and, you know, it was something that he, you know, spent time and money on, it was an unnecessary gift. We had already hired a professional photographer. We paid for him to give us high-quality, beautiful pictures. We didn't need or want another photographer. We would have preferred, actually, if he had just gone to the gift registry and got us something off of the registry, right? And we did, unfortunately, end up throwing a lot of those pictures away. Actually, Jenny was reminding me that I was speaking at a retreat, and so she brought a bunch of these pictures to go through as I was speaking, you know, and she threw them out at this retreat center, and so she was thinking, like, whoever the custodian was probably thinking, this marriage is, like, not going to last, right, because of all these wedding photos in the garbage. It was thoughtful, but honestly, it was pointless. It was kind, but it was redundant. It was nice, but it was unnecessary. God didn't just offer up a token gift. He didn't give us this empty present to help us through this life. We need a rescuer. We need a savior. We need Jesus. And here's the ironic thing. When we get gifts and we give gifts during Christmas, and we look at those gifts around the Christmas tree, we look for things that will make our lives a little bit better or a little more convenient or fill our lives with stuff that we might want to have. We want a more comfortable life. We want more convenience. We want fewer worries. But none of these things will matter in eternity if our souls are dead and destined for separation from God forever. You see, the gift that we get from God is the gift that we absolutely need. We need to be made alive, truly alive, spiritually alive. And Jesus is the gift that grants us life. Ephesians 2 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses," look at this, "made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." When Jesus came to the earth, he came as the gift of salvation. Being born as a human, said he would die for our sins, being raised to life, so that death is defeated, and that we could live eternally. This is a gift of absolute necessity. The gift of Christ coming to our world is a gift out of God's great love, and it's a gift of absolute necessity. And finally, we see in this passage that it is a gift that is totally undeserved. Pick it up here with me in verses 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We should key in on the word grace. It's actually used three times in these six verses. At the end of verse 5, it says, by grace you've been saved. In verse 7, it says, his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And of course, in verse 8 here, by grace you've been saved through faith. The very definition of grace is that it's unwarranted, it's unearned, it's unmerited, it's undeserved. This is not a gift that we should have received or deserved. God did not have to send his son as a sacrifice for our salvation. In fact, because of our sin and disobedience and rejection of God, we deserve condemnation and death. That's what we should have gotten. That's what God should have given to us. We earned eternal separation from God. It's right and fair for God to send us to judgment and punishment. But the gift that we get instead is everlasting life. We saw in this passage that because of our sins, we're dead. We are spiritually lifeless. But throughout the scriptures, we see also that we are also called enemies of God. Not only are we dead in our sins, another illustration that's used is that we are enemies of God. In Colossians, it says that we're hostile to God. In Romans, it says that we are the enemies of God. But even when we were his enemies, he willingly and God purposefully sent Jesus to die in our place. That is grace. Undeserving, unmerited, unearned, undeserved. You know, it's one thing for us to give gifts to people that we love. It's one thing for us to give gifts to family members, even if we don't necessarily get along with them. It's one thing to give gifts to people that we feel close to. But it's an entirely different thing to give gifts to your enemies. It's an entirely different thing to give gifts to people who are openly hostile and hurtful to you. I don't think we necessarily have maybe outright enemies, but we have people in our lives who we don't get along with. But it would be like buying a nice lunch for that coworker who talks behind your back or who talks bad about you to your boss. It would be like getting a nice gift, like a refrigerator, to your neighbor who complains about your yard. It would be like helping the school bully with his homework. It would be like babysitting the parents or babysitting the kids of the parents who criticize your parenting. It'd be like paying for the groceries of the person who just stole your parking spot. More than that, though, in our hostility toward God, in our enmity toward God, in our sinfulness and rebellion and rejection of God, he still faithfully offers his own son as a gift for our salvation. God gives himself as the gift for us who were his enemies, for us who turned against him, for us who rejected him and ignored him. God says, you don't deserve this. In fact, you deserve the opposite. You deserve death. But out of his grace, God gives us Jesus, totally undeserved, unwarranted, unearned. We have done nothing to deserve salvation. We have done nothing to earn redemption. It is only the grace of God which sends Jesus as the gift that we needed. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. God sent Jesus as a gift, totally undeserved. And so this Christmas, as we think about giving gifts and receiving gifts, let's start first by reflecting on the greatest gift. That God sent Jesus as a gift out of his rich mercy and his deep love for us. And God sent Jesus as a gift of absolute necessity so that we could live. And God sent Jesus as a gift that is totally undeserved. So not only do we exalt and praise God for this precious gift, but it ought to inspire the way that we give. We should give in mercy and in love by showing grace. it should cause us to be thankful as receivers of gifts because we've received the greatest gift that we didn't deserve. We should get hyped for gifts and for presents, but our greatest delight is in the one who arrived that first Christmas as the gift of God. So here are a few action steps for us to consider as we apply this joyous truth. Some of you here might not have yet received this gift of Christ. You know, it's one thing to be offered a gift, to be presented with a present, but you need to take it. You need to receive it. And you receive salvation. You accept this gift when you trust and believe that Jesus indeed has come to die in your place, that Jesus was sent as a gift so that you could be saved from your sin and death. And maybe today and this season is the perfect time for you to realize that this is a gift that you can receive, that you should receive. If you've never done that before, you can just say to God right now, God, I accept, I receive this gift as the gift that was necessary for my salvation. Maybe today is the day and this season is the time for you to receive and accept the ultimate gift from God. Secondly, I know that when I get a gift that I need or when I get a gift that I really treasure, it's something special, it's meaningful, it's, you know, thought out, I overflow with thanksgiving. I overflow with gratitude. And if you've received this gift of Christ, let it fuel your praise and worship. This season, as you listen to Christmas songs or other worship songs, as we sing, let the reflection of this perfect gift that's been given to us fuel the way that you worship and honor the Lord. Let the season of Advent fill your heart and soul with songs of exaltation. Sing songs that praise Him and lift Him up. And thirdly, when we receive a gift, when we receive something that we really enjoy, that we really wanted or that we needed, we're quick to tell others. Right? We want to explain to others this wonderful gift that we've received. And this might be just the season, as we just prayed about earlier, for you to tell others about the gift that you've received in Christ. Maybe start by telling your non-Christian friends about gifts that you're looking forward to. Maybe the gift that you're getting for your kids or for your spouse or for somebody special. Maybe ask them what they're looking forward to. Ask them what kind of gift that they would like to receive. But then turn the conversation to saying really that any gift, every gift, pales in comparison to the gift that God has given to us. You know, we give gifts during this season because God gave us the gift that we absolutely needed and the gift that was totally undeserved, and it's Jesus. Maybe that's something that you can say to a non-Christian friend or family member or coworker or neighbor. I hope that this season, as we think about being hyped for things like gifts and presents, that we get excited about this gift that God has given to us. Jesus was sent as a gift out of God's love for us. Jesus was sent as a gift that was totally undeserved. Jesus was sent as a gift to us because He loves us and we needed it so that we could be alive. Let's pray. God, for many of us at this time of the year, we already know this to be true. We often say it, maybe glibly, that Jesus is the best gift. And yet, God, I pray that You would have reminded our hearts this morning that Jesus is, yes, the best gift because He was the gift that is given to us out of Your rich mercy and deep love for us, knowing that this was everything that we needed, even though we didn't deserve it. So God, thank You. Thank You for loving us, for seeing the need that we had, even though we didn't earn it, Thank you for giving us your Son. And Jesus, thank you for dying in our place. Thank you for leaving the glory of heaven, dying on the cross, rising again so that we could have life. God, fill our hearts with joy and exaltation. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.